Then shall my latest breath whisper thy praise. This be the parting cry my heart shall raise. This still its prayer shall be, more love, O Christ, to thee.
To welcome you here this evening. We've come to support our brother in his desire to serve the Lord as he would bring forth those thoughts that he has put together.
I pray that you might remember him in your prayers, that his delivery may be that he would appreciate for himself, and also that the congregation might be edified and he might bring praise and honor to the Lord. I'd like to read for your hearing from the 34th Psalm. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Let's turn to hymn number 215. 215.
Thank you. Our most kind, loving Heavenly Father, we once again come, Father, and bow before you. I'm grateful, Father, for this opportunity we have to come and to once again gather as a family of brothers and sisters, Father, even your children, that we might have opportunity, Father, to be taught from on high. And Father, this evening we pray for our brother Randy, that you might truly give him the freedom of thought and the freedom of voice, Father, that he might share those things that you would have him bring for us tonight. And Father, we always come knowing that all things from you are edifying and uplifting and educational, Father. So we pray that you might bless us in the sharing of your wisdom and your knowledge with us. And Father, we are grateful that we had this morning the opportunity to participate in the watching the baptism of your young ones. And we thank you, Father, for that. And we thank you for their commitment. These things, Father, we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, even Jesus the Christ, the one, the great one. Amen.
Sorry, I can't turn to my opening scripture. I've done something wrong. Let me open with this. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, has sent me.
Hear your great deliverer's voice.
My apologies for my opening scripture. It would have been Deuteronomy. Seven, 14 and 15. This is an engagement between, a conversation between Moses and the Lord. It's kind of difficult because I'm breaking in here. I don't get a chance to merge the concepts. So but time being a factor here, I'm just going to start on 14. And he said, and he, being God, will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb and the fruit of thy land, thy corn, thy wine, thy oil, and the increase of thy kine, the cattle, and the flocks of thy sheep, and the land where you swear unto the fathers to give thee. Thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not any male or female barren among you or among your cattle. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness and will put none of these evil diseases of Egypt which thou knowest. Now listen to this end of the sentence, real key. Upon thee, but lay them upon them that hate thee. There's a promise. We're doing what we're supposed to be doing. We are indeed obedient to the Lord. He's told us again and again, he will fight our battles. And right now, in the position I am in, and I don't know, just call it what you want, lack of status, which is true. I don't have any status. I don't want any status among you. You're my family. I want to live with you and among you just as because I'm one of you. But when it comes to things where there is a requirement of wisdom to be exercised, I want to be in charge. I don't want somebody else running my life. I want the Word of God exercising wisdom in my life to lead me according to His will. Now, that was a big mouthful to say all at once. I apologize for that, but it was like many of you have experienced in the past when you're trying to guide on and get something done with a sermon, your life, or at least my life, fell apart. And it was like trying to nail jello to the wall. That's just what it was like. So I'm going to ask the Lord's help, and I am going to count on your fair indulgence to be able to get through this. And before I get started here, I want to put something, I want you to put it on the sticky side of your mind and just ruminate on that. Just don't want an answer. We're not trying to get an answer. What we're trying to do is deal with concepts that are real, and we can do it in kind of a clinical fashion here. We're not putting lives or limbs at risk, or we're not going to run into each other and help each other. This is just between family and friends here. You don't even have to open your mouth. I want you to think about this. I want you to think about how complex the world is around us. And that God works through that complexity, He being infinitely complex. And what I'm trying to do here is try to get below the surface. To get into an awareness that there's so much more to life than what we can see through our eyes. And the only way we're going to have the capacity to understand it and understand it is by the power of the Spirit. We need to walk in the Spirit. Okay, here's the concept. What is time? Let's do that. Put it on the back side of your mind, just kind of let that dwell for a while and and just see what happens. What is time? And it's like everybody knows what time is. Oh, okay, I guess I'm the one that got left out. So tell me, what is time? I have never gotten an answer. I know what the scientific definition is, and that, I don't know if that's germane or not, but these are kind of struggles, concepts I struggle with, trying to find out who I am, where I'm supposed to be. Lord, what is it that you really require of me? And, you know, the answer comes to all of these problems that we have. And it comes by the power of the Spirit. And it comes to make us, well, I'm not just talking about me, I'm talking about us, make us aware not only of the danger that we're in, but what to do about it, where to go, and how to deal with it, how to pray for it, that we are not caught up in it. Now, to say that we are not caught up in it is kind of a misnomer, because we are. We live in Babylon. We drive Babylonian cars. We drink Babylonian soft drinks. We put Babylonian gas in the car. We wear Babylonian... I mean, it's Babel on down the road. And we like to tell ourselves, we're working our way out of it. I know that and at that very moment, the very essence of the requirements of health and wealth and knowledge and understanding are beginning to crumble. I'm asking if it's okay where we are. What is the fruit that we've borne? Because the fruit that God is requiring of this generation isn't going to be any different than what He required before. It's just that we have not had the opportunity to hit the ground running. We're starting over here in Babylon, square one, trying to get over here. It ain't going to happen. There are things that are going to have to change in our lives. Something that's going to have to change in my life. And it's going to hurt, because the only way the Lord's going to accept it is through sacrifice. Another way. I'm not happy with why. I work at a store. You guys have probably already been there, all been through it, you know what it's like, etc. You know, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about where am I. I'm talking about what is my spiritual status. Call it that way. Status. What's my status? Other people have gone, when the church was established, men would go to Joseph Smith and ask, what is my status with God? What does God think? Is God pleased with me? Is God, you know, and he would inquire that. We have the same opportunity. The problem is that we all have, I can't say blinders, because that would be forced upon us. All I can say is that I suffer from blindness, because I know what to do. I'm just scared to go do it. Yeah, it's kind of a revealing moment there. Call it what it is. I'm scared. I'm scared to lay my life on the line. I'm scared to be made a fool. I'm scared to be different. And that is what it's going to take. Now, we're dealing with this thing about time. Now, also on that, what I want to discuss partially here is the kingdom that you and I operate under, and the names. What are the names of the kingdoms in which we operate? Well, there are two kingdoms, so that suggests what? That one guy's in charge of one kingdom and the other guy's in charge of the other kingdom? Something like that. I mean, in the structure of this particular conversation, that will probably work. I'd say that he's in charge, and that's because the Lord allows him to be so much in charge. All right, the two names. Actually, the second name given in the Bible is actually not a name, but rather a qualification, a designation of the attitude. All right, let's deal with the first name first. And it's really not a name, it's a designation. And it was designated by God. The designation of the second kingdom is, I will. That's his name, that's his designation. That's something the Lord gave to, or placed upon him because of the attitude. I will. Okay, now what is that showing? Isn't that, if that's his name, shouldn't there be some sort of fruit together with that? By, absolutely, and there are. It is called the people that have not given their lives to God are in hell, in the prison house, or however I should qualify that. I don't want to get I really do want to get sidetracked here, and it's too bad because there's other things that need explanation as I go along, and you just, this is, I don't mean this, I mean this, so everybody understands. I will is a name? No. It's an attitude. I will. I will ascend to the stars of heaven. I will take upon me the throne of God. I will. Okay? That's future. What I will. It's not. Put this in parentheses, okay? I will. Okay? In the future means 2 seconds from now, on down the road. It doesn't mean this very moment. I will, and then usurp and mutiny against God. That's what that is. Usurpation of the power of God and a mutiny. He literally led a mutiny against God. All right, versus the other name, which is in charge of the other kingdom, or the primary kingdom. And what is his name? His name is an interface with man. That's how he interfaces with man. His name is I Am. Or at least that's what he's given to us to be. As great and expansive as the universe is, I personally don't believe that his name is that to other people. And I have reasons for believing that, and I'd like to read one of them to you right now. I'm really sorry. This comes easily. This is an exchange, an interview between God and Enoch. This is in section 36. And the heavens shall say, he's talking about the last days, the very last days. And the heavens shall shake, and also the earth, and great tribulation shall be among the children of men. Now, he puts keys in everything he says. There's a key, there's a purpose, there's a requirement. He does this with everything he says because everything has purpose. And the heavens shall shake, and also the earth, and great tribulation among the children of men, but my people will I preserve, and righteousness will I send down out of heaven, and truth will I send forth out of the earth, to bear testimony of the only begotten, his resurrection from the dead, and also the resurrection of all men. Righteous and truth will I cause to sweep the earth as a flood, and gather out my elect from the four quarters of the earth unto a place which I will prepare. Going to back up here to back to 7D. I'm going to read on till like another four verses here. Behold, I am God. Man of holiness is my name. Man of counsel is my name. Endless and eternal is my name also. Wherefore I can... Did you catch that? How he is stressing his name? Behold, I am God. Man of holiness is my name. Man of counsel is my name. And endless and eternal is my name also. Wherefore I can stretch forth my hands and hold all the creations which I have made, and my eye can pierce them. And among all the workmanship of my hand, there has not been so great wickedness as among your brethren. Now, do you understand why I believe that he is revealing, I'm going to call it status, you know, holiness, truth, deity, strength, why I'm going to hold that to be different to a different world? Because we really have not made the grade here. And he doesn't pull any punches. These are my people, and this is what's gone wrong. And my eye can pierce him also, and among the workmanship of my hand there has not been so great wickedness as among your brother. That is really, really, it leaves me reeling every time I read that. I think, what is the answer? How is it that we can provide answers to the great problems that face us on a daily scale, daily? Now, Christianity is experiencing persecution. We get it, but we aren't being crucified right now, we're getting it through the IRS. And I'm not kidding. This is serious. The enemy knows how to get to us, and people, you know, they lose their car. Yeah. You know, they lose the cabin by the lake. Yeah. But you start messing with somebody's money, then we're going to start talking business here. So we have to, when we're faced with other religions, what's the difference? Well, all right, I may have already been through this exercise with you, and if you remember me doing it, I apologize, but on the other hand, I think it's something well to address when we have the opportunity. When we get to the point that other religions want to compare themselves to us, and in many instances, they can qualify them. I would say, yeah, they can qualify as good as Christianity. It says to be generous with your money, harvest your money, make good investments, treat your neighbor right, do the things that are right. And that is really good. It's a requirement of just about all religions. What sets Christianity apart is what? The cross. The cross sets Christianity apart like nothing else would ever do. And we have to have that cross. We have to have, when we come to the point that we are presented to the throne of God, we will know whether or not we did right, because it will be revealed to us. The second way that this the religion of Christianity is different from other religions is because it requires the surrender of self. Now, what are you saying? Are you kidding, Jack? You what? No, I'm here. I'm going to have some fun. I'm going to, no. Screw right along, okay? Because those are, as I count them, those are our two reasons why we are not disliked, but we are hated. And I have to chalk that up to old, feudal problems that come down through us, through Jacob and Esau, and through, well, okay, there's an enmity there. There was a Esau, I think it was Esau, his wife, went to the Lord. So why am I struggling like this? And the Lord counselor, he said, there are two babies in your own. Yeah, we figured that out. We knew that. There are two men child in your womb. Well, he's writing a little bit high here, so that's how you can tell that you've got a, okay. That, it's going the way it's supposed to, and I know what it is. Two nations, not children, not men, two nations struggle in your womb. And so that's something that God has the ability to stand behind, just like an umpire at a baseball game, to stand behind the actual events and know what is all going to happen hundreds of years before it does. And so there are key features of Christianity over other religions that they do not have. They cannot qualify. First of all, it has to be revealed. Second of all, there has to be surrender of self. And third, you have to apologize. I got a hold of something that has opened my. No, I'm just not thinking very well tonight. Qualifies as you have to be perfect. You got to be perfect. You want to come to no, Christ is not holding anything back. He's not you. No. You forget it. Now I'll take these. But you guys just head out the door and go do something on your. I don't. Whatever. Because you don't qualify. None of us qualify. Nobody here qualifies. It is a but perfection is still a requirement. How are you going to be perfect? That's what makes Christianity set it apart from any thing else. And that is the cross. There's blessings, there's power, there's joy. I'm sure every one of you have had this epiphany take place where you were in the act of praying, or you not sure exactly what you were doing. You were traveling down the road, you were already meditating, and have the Lord break in and speak to you. As far as I'm concerned, that's about as good as it gets. That lends itself to me that there is a God, and He is what He says He is. It keeps coming and going. Okay, now we have in the restoration, the remnants of the restoration, we've been given, not a challenge, we've been given a mandate to build a kingdom. All right, it's been attempted 100 times, 1,000 times before. What's going to make this different? Because it's going to have to be different. As Einstein came up with the saying, keep doing, insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over and over again, expecting a different result. It's insanity. I have to agree with that. But we're going to have two things working in our favor. First of all, that it is, according to the scriptures, it is time. There's a sticky word in time. I'm not predicting anything. I'm just saying the time is close. We had when Jesus went into the temple to worship, to pray, and to teach. The Pharisees gave him a whole bunch of slack over, you know, a lot of things you're doing wrong. And he said, and he told them who he was. But he said, you guys are just so expert at discerning the signs of the sky, you haven't a clue about the signs of the times. And that's where we are. We have the signs of the times are all around us. How are we going to deal with this great struggle? We need to go to political school again, get some of our people entrenched in the school boards and in different parts of state government. Is that our response? Are we supposed to get some of our people into the military? Are we supposed to uphold our people in business so that they can have enough money to help fund this attempt to retake the government? What are we going to do? What exactly do we do? Well, has there ever been a problem before? Has there ever been an economic problem in Israel when they had no rain? They have a giant come and basically challenge the entire Israelite army. Did God provide a way? I mean, we have grown up in Babylon, and we are so familiar and easy and careful with all the accoutrements of Babylon that is just too much of a step for us as people, and we are people, I am people too, that we're hesitant to make that step, to go and it comes in baby steps. Like getting rid of your video player. Spending that time in prayer and fasting and studying. Downgrade to another car. A lot cheaper to run. There's a lot of things we can do. We could be doing sacrificially. But the one, we had a gentleman in the early Doctrine and Covenants that came to Joseph Smith wanting to know, what is it that would be a most important for me to be involved in and would bring the best results? And Joseph Smith turned to him and said, preach the gospel. It's not politics that has separated us from each other and from God. It's a lack of spirituality. It's a lack of dedication to the God that we purport to serve. So to fix that, how do you fix it? Do you have a syringe that we can go and push it in everyone's heart? And in will come this love, and oh, I love everybody now, is just and make nothing but wise choices from then on? No, it is only the gospel, only the Spirit, only the cross has the capacity to forgive. As alone has the capacity to give a new life. And that's where we are. We have governmental agencies literally surround us. And they are working 24/7 nonstop to destroy this country. You may think that's a little strong. I would highly recommend and request that you go do your due diligence and see if I'm not right before you come and kick me in the shins. Because I know, I've seen it. I have run into too many people. Their livelihood was taken away. Their house was confiscated. They had nothing left. It was on just an occasional basis. It would be hard to justify that. It's not. It's week after week after week. And becoming more and more common, becoming more and more a problem. So how do we deal with it? What did they do? What did Jesus tell people to do when they had a problem? What did he do? God has not changed. And people like me run around telling people how concerned I am about a nuclear event. Well, does God have does he have jurisdiction in that small arena? Or is he powerless? Does he have the power to negate that and just wipe it out, keep it from hurting anybody else? Of course he does. But up until a point, God is going to allow people to work and to labor in their own problems that they have that we're going to have to suffer through now. We don't like that terminology, and we don't like being told, "Hey, Bubba, you're a sinner." I don't like that. I am sure you don't either. But when we get pulled up short and we recognize that we are not, we don't have the money to spend anymore. The jobs have all gone away. It was just on and on and on. Well, here it is. It's back in Deuteronomy. I'm not going to chase it down. But it was like, do my will. It has not changed. Pray, fast, repent. Every opportunity, share the gospel. You may not be involved in having these people's hearts changed, but you can be involved in having your heart changed. We look at this a little bit differently, or at least I do anyway. When it comes, what I have been shown, and I'm going to share this from the pulpit, with no dogma. There's no dogma attached to this. Dogma being the protocol. There's no protocol involved with it at all. But I'm sorry. I just lost my train of thought. God has given us intelligence. Now, if I could turn right to it, it would show how the it says that the light and truth, that God is light and truth. The glory of God is intelligence, light and truth. Okay, are you intelligent? Are you intelligent? Are you intelligent? Well, what is the meaning of intelligent? Give me a working definition of intelligence. Intelligence is simply being aware of I. It's not what you score on the SATs. It is literally the concept of I, of me. That is intelligence. The definition of intelligence starts there. And he wants us to exercise that intelligence. He told Moses when he's standing on the edge of the Red Sea, and he was, "Hey, Lord, come on. Hey, the elevator's not working. We have to take this down this way." And the Lord said, "Why are you talking to me? You got the rod in your hand. Work on changing. Do your part. Do your part." And so Moses just probably just scared right out of his wits. Took the rod, hit the water. So we have intelligence, but it has to be coupled also with the Spirit. And getting that coupling right is difficult, at least for me. It's very difficult because I'm not, even at this late day, this late hour of history and my life, I still have not learned to walk in the Spirit. And I'm working on it because I recognize the signs of the times. We're going to have the Spirit with us at all times. And that is not going to come easily. I am bearer of bad news, and I apologize for that, but it is the truth. We're going to go through some very, very difficult times. The only way that we're going to get through is hold fast to the rod of iron. Repent. You can be in the middle of the battle, and the Lord brings something to your mind. You repent of it. It doesn't matter if He's the one in charge. He's the one with the intelligence. He's the one who knows what He's doing. And by the way, it says, intelligence cannot be I'll turn to this if I'm a little more familiar with it, but it says intelligence is not acquired, neither can it be made. Intelligence, all the intelligence that's in the universe now has never been made. It has just been transferred from whoever gave the intelligence to you, me, that. So where did intelligence come from? It was not manufactured, it was not created, where did it come from? I deal with these questions all the time. It came from God Himself. He is the one that gave you your intelligence. It's not made, it's not created, it's not manufactured. It has existed forever. From out of eternity, is now put into your psyche. And that's one of the reasons that He loves us so much, because He sees Himself in us. And that's why He knows this intelligence will work so well, because it's straight from Him. Now, putting aside all the things that hold us back is going to, by itself, is going to be monumental. And if you really are interested in that, I would suggest that you spend a great deal of time in prayer doing that, and then start taking baby steps. Big adult steps will kill you, and I don't mean that any kind of a joke. Big steps will kill you if you keep them up. Take the baby steps. Something else that's going to be required in Zion, and that is I'm really struggling with this. We're going to have to surrender so that the God of Israel, who is Yahweh, who is I Am, is able to work with us. He talks about hardening our hearts by we think we have wisdom, and hardening our hearts because we think that we have all knowledge. My mom used to work in a library on a college campus, and she worked with this lady. They got to be real good friends, got to be real close. And one day they were just talking about different incidental things. And this lady said, "You know what, I think I know just about everything there is to know. Because so many books have come through here, and I've read a lot of them. I have to put a stamp on here and back. That's before they had computers. I think I know just about everything that there is to know." And at that point, I didn't know whether to laugh or cry. I have a good brother at work, and we talk about a lot of stuff like this. And it is... I keep losing this train of thought. Since I'm not able to get across tonight what I think the Lord is trying to share with me, I would really, really appreciate it and recommend it. When you get home, you kneel down and ask Him to fill in the blanks. Because for some reason, it's not working for me. And so I would prayerfully, can ask you to please do that tonight, because what I have been given to share is something that it's vital. We have to have an organization. Some people think that Zion's going to come and then it's all going to be about He's going to teach us and be organized, and this is going to be over there and that's going to be over there, and then we have our intelligence, we have our agency, and we have the opportunity. And to simply go out and killing the tiger, or killing the fighting with the alligators and coming back in one piece, that seems to be good enough for us that we don't have to do anything. I live and breathe this stuff. I put meat on the table, and now I'm going to go play. it's not going to work. It is not going to work for you. I've been through that. I've been down that road. I'm just, you know, I'm here to warn you. You know, if that's, you have your agency and that's what you want, then by all means. But there's a price to be paid. And you don't know how much it hurts my heart to say that because you're my family. I'm close to you than I am to the rest of my family. Dad and I've gotten to be a lot closer, but I know you guys. You know, and you've seen me probably at my worst and have still allowed me to worship here. So I can appreciate that. And, you know, having things disappear out of my mind just the very moment I'm trying to say them is kind of really, really deep concern to me. How close are we to Zion? That's a germane topic of discussion. How close are we to Zion? And I've heard, you know, where I work, you know, there's a lot of people that hear that hold to that, and many of them will say, "We need Zion." I'm going, "Oh yeah, okay." If we need it that bad, how come we're not doing something about it? This person, I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to this person that I had this discussion with, and you know, we need Zion. I said, well, what are you doing to bring it to pass? The Protestants get by this because they say the rapture is coming and we're going to be raptured out. We don't need to know all this stuff. We don't need to hear all it. We're going to be raptured out. Well, the restoration, I'm sorry to say, has not acted too much better than that. Instead of saying we're going to be caught up away in the rapture, we're saying, not you, but people in the different aspects of restoration are saying, Zion's going to come, and when it does, we'll be saved. We'll be safe, and we'll walk in and singing, singing praises with a thousand tongues. It's not going to work that way. We have one of the reasons I have tried in the past to share the word of wisdom with you is because it's so important that we prepare. It's so vitally important that we prepare. And willingness to give it up in the spirit of sacrifice, God will accept that. But we're close. We're very, very close. And when this thing goes down, it's going to go down hard for everybody. And so what the Spirit has led me to do is work on, among other things, work on how I treat my body. And finally, after years and years, it's beginning to pay dividends. And so grateful for that. How do I say this? We have a body of, our nation is governed by, I don't know how else to say it other than to say it, people who have abandoned Christ, who have abandoned Christ Jesus. And that's why we're having the problems here. We want the blessings, Lord. Yeah, okay, yeah, we're having, yeah. Bring them on in here and get them done. Them. Thank you very much. You can be on your way now. You don't work that way. You want him, you get his blessing. Don't want him, blessings go. And we think Zion is going to come and deliver us from all of our problems. Well, that's what the Jews thought of Christ. We're looking for the Messiah so he can come back and save us from all our problems. Did he? Well, yeah, he did. They were still had chains on when he left, but they were free. The people that chose to follow him were free up here and free here. He brought them freedom. I come that you may know the truth, and the truth will what? Set us free. We have to know the truth. We have to know what it is. We have to know how to apply it. We have to have the willingness to go through some pretty tough sledding in the very near future. And when that happens, I would suggest that we have changed our lifestyles by then. Even if it's only a little bit, because a change of lifestyle you will begin to see into the kingdom. It's just like Paul talks about looking through a glass darkly. You get it all brushed off, all that brown stuff, and you can see. You can actually see through the portal. And that's where we really need to be, because we need to be growing understanding and wisdom and discernment. Discernment and wisdom. They're going to be vital. They're vital now. Who's at the front door, honey? I don't know. I'll go see. Wait a minute. No, we have crossed a line. We have crossed a line of unrighteousness, of what this country used to be. And now, it's beware. Instead of greetings, now it's beware. So, it's hard to describe the way I feel right now, because I'm both concerned, and the other time when I see God answering prayer in my life, I'm euphoric. So I really get to the point where I just don't know how to feel. But I was like, God is preparing a people. And if we continue to exercise exercise our faith the way it needs to be exercised, we are going to be ushered in to the reign of the millennium. We're going to actually have a chance to help to build it. And it's going to be just what it was for the early saints. It's going to be tough. It's going to be rough. But as long as we keep Christ front and center, not over here what's going on with government, not over here what's going on with the IRS, we've got to keep our minds separate and devoted to following Him. Hold to the rod of iron. Stay on the straight and narrow path. And as you do that, as we do that, we will begin to find more and more of a bond with each other because of persecution. I know that you are a blessed people because I've heard your testimony. I know that you are a blessed people because I have seen the character inherent in your life. I've seen godliness in your life, the way you live, the way you deliver the love of God into other people's lives. And you know what they say, the love of God wears overalls. So, sorry I haven't hit all of the things I believe the Spirit wanted me to say, but if I could leave you with just a few thoughts, it would be to do the things that set us apart from other religions. And that is repent, accept the cross, and have that revelation. There's a revelatory experience that we have the opportunity to go through. Who do you say that I am? Well, who do people say that I am? He's John, one of the apostles, some of these guys from the Old Testament. Who do you say that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed art thou, Peter Barjona, because flesh and blood hath not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. God bless you all. Thank you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Lord, we thank you for this day. We pray that you grant us wisdom and discernment and guidance. Not that we may find ways that you may bless us, but in ways that we may find ways to be about your business, that we may witness to others, that we may be about your work, to bring about your causes and not ours. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.